This message was recorded live at the Ark Church in Conroe, Texas.
The phrase, the term, there's more than meets the eye. Ever heard that phrase? There's more than meets the eye. Usually it's in conjunction with someone says, well, you know, there must be more than meets the eye about him or she wouldn't be interested. Oftentimes it's a hidden value or a significance that is not readily apparent. It's more than meets the eye. In other words, things aren't exactly what they seem. There's more here. And I remember reading a story, I believe it was a true story, about a teacher who had injured his upper chest region, and they put him actually in a cast, like a plaster cast. It was fairly thin. It fit under his shirt, and so no one could really tell he was wearing it. And he did this during the summer, and on the first day of school, they assigned him to, it was high school, some of the toughest kids in the school. And so he walks into class. This is when teachers wore, do teachers still have to wear ties? I didn't think so. But this was back when teachers wore ties. And he walked into the classroom, rowdy class, they didn't pay any attention. He walked over and he opened the window. And the breeze was blowing in. He went over, sat at the desk, and started doing some work. And the wind was blowing, and his tie was kind of flopping around. Class was getting rowdier and rowdier. And he kept messing with his tie. And finally, he just, and the class is just paying him no attention at all. Finally, he reaches over and he grabs one of those big staplers with the big round thing on the top. And he takes it and he just, poof, 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 and he staples the tie to his chest. He said after that, there was no discipline problems whatsoever with that class because there was more to him than meets the eye. This morning, I want to talk about there's more to you than meets the eye. And really, if you think about it, we live a lot of our lives in believing things that are not seen. We live with unseen things, things that we seem to take by faith. If you've been to the dentist's office recently, and they've done x-rays. You know what they do with those x-rays? They get that machine out, but remember they lay that heavy lead like bib over you, and then they step out of the room. That always concerns me that they step out of the room to do the x-rays. But you know, I've never looked at them once and said, you know what, I can't see those x-rays. I don't believe they're real. You don't need to put that bib on me. No, give me the bib. And it's a bib that, because even though we can't see x-rays, we believe they're there and believe they can have some harmful results. I was thinking, and this group can appreciate that, does anybody remember when color television came out? My mother warned me not to sit too close to the color television because it would make you, my mom told me it'd make me sterile. Three kids later, how wrong she was. But you know, there was a lot of stuff. Don't sit up too close to the television. It's not good for you. And my mom was concerned that those rays would just make me of no effect. And she wanted grandkids. So don't sit. I remember, hey, the screens were so small, you had to sit up close. We're living with things we can't see. Anybody ever purchased anything online? Chances are you don't even know where that warehouse is. You have never seen that product, but you see a picture of it, you type in your credit card to a company you don't even know. You know nobody there. Thank you. That's great. Thank you. Was there a reason we thought I looked kind of dim today, but I appreciate that. You type in your credit card, you put in all that information that's extremely private, and then they send you a confirmation, and then from then on, you're expecting something to come in the mail. You're looking for a confirmation, you're looking for a tracking number, you're tracking that thing in, and a place you have no idea if it even exists, but you take it by faith. How about when loved ones and friends announce that they're pregnant? I mean, my daughter did like a reveal party. That's a big thing to do now, reveal parties. We just had to wait to figure out what it was, but it was a reveal party. And they revealed they were having a child, and it was a boy. And you look at someone, and my daughter looked like, I'm like, I could look at her and go, you're not pregnant. You don't look a bit different, but we take it by faith that a test has come out and said, you scored on this on the test and your dot matches this dot, and you go, praise God, we're pregnant, and everybody gets excited. Because we take a lot of things by faith. But you realize that's how we live our whole life with God. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, verse 7 says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. So we walk living and believing in something we have not seen, things we have not experienced, but things we believe, and someone we believe is real, and that really defines our whole life. And if you're a believer, there's more to you than meets the eye. Because we're believing in something that's beyond just what this natural realm tells us. We believe that there's another realm behind that. We believe there's something beyond where we are now. And because we believe that, it causes a response in us. See, I don't believe, I believe there is a heaven. Totally believe it. I have never been there. I've only met one person, well, two people, that have had a heaven experience. Joy and I were sitting at in a service years ago in Tulsa, Oklahoma. We were a Bible school. We were sitting in this service, and the speaker, this is in the ORU's Maybe Center, we were sitting toward the back, and the speaker was talking. He was talking about a heaven experience he had had and all the times he had been to heaven. And there was a guy sitting just right on my row, real close to me, and he kept going, yeah, that's right. Yes. Yo, yeah, that's right. Well, when you listen to someone talk about heaven, most of us don't go, that's right. We go, amen, or that's good. But he kept talking like, yeah, that's good. Finally, after the service was over, I stopped him. And I said, just out of curiosity, man, I said, when he was talking about heaven, you were chiming in like you've been there. He looked at me, he smiled, and said, I have. I said, really? He said, yeah. He said, my testimony is on file here at the church. I recorded it. He said, I died in a motorcycle accident. I was gone. I was pronounced dead for about 30 minutes. He said, and I went to heaven. You know what my next question is? Did you see Jesus? And I said, did you see Jesus? He said, yeah. I said, what does he look like? I love this. This blessed me. He looked at me. He said, he's about your height. I went, yes. Yes. Thank you. Yes. That definitely sounds like God. He said, he's about your height. He said, he's got a stockier build than you. He said, he talked about his eyes. And we talked. Now, listen, not everybody that claims to have gone to heaven has gone to heaven. There's flakes and nuts and squirrels out there all over the place. But this guy, he wasn't wacky. He wasn't weird. I really believed him. I've known someone else that had an experience like that. But as he was talking about that, it was fascinating. But when he was telling me about Jesus, and listen, don't be disappointed if you were thinking that Jesus was 6'5" with blonde hair and blue eyes. You're going to be surprised. He was not. And if you're thinking, Alan, he can't be your size. Yes, he can. Good things come in average size packages. It's not the size. It's what's on the inside. He's very big on the inside. And so as I was talking to him about heaven, I realized, no, he wasn't convincing me. It was good to hear about it, but I believe in heaven before I've ever been there. I believe in Jesus without ever having to see him. I believe that when I tithe and give offerings, good things come back to me. We believe before we ever see. And that's how we live our lives that way. That's our life with God. But in the Bible, there's always talking about the different realms, and there's different things out there. There's just so much more to us than meets the eye. There's a story in Kings. It's a great story. It's the story of Elisha. Elisha was a prophet. In those days in the Old Testament, the prophets were some of the only ones that got a chance to hear from God on a regular basis. And he was a prophet, and God used him really mightily. And the Syrian army would come and attack Israel. But before the army would attack Israel, the Lord would tell Elisha where they were coming. So Elisha would tell the king, don't go here. They're going to show up right here. Sure enough, they would show up there. Israel's army's ready for it. Syrian army would show up in another place. God already told them. He said, this is where they're coming. And so the Israeli army was ready for it. And God had protected his people. And so he kept telling Elisha where the Syrians were coming. And finally, the Syrian king said, I am tired of this. We've got an email leak here, and it can't be the Russians because that country doesn't exist yet. So who's telling? Who's messing up here? Who is for the king of Israel? One of the guys spoke up. He said, King, sir, he said, there's a prophet over there that tells his king what you say in your bedroom. And King went, let's go get him. So let's pick up the story right here. Go find out where he is, the king ordered, so I can send men and capture him. The report came back. He's in Dothan. Then he sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. They went by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. "Oh, no, my Lord, what shall we do?" the servant asked. "Don't be afraid," the prophet answered. "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed, "Open his eyes, Lord, so he may see." And the Lord opened the servant's eyes and looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. You know, I can understand how that servant felt. He went out in the morning. This army came in overnight. He wasn't expecting that. This was one of those things that struck him suddenly. And he goes out, and, you know, when he'd gone to bed, everything was great. He woke up in the morning, and everything had just turned all the way around. And it frightened him. It surprised him. But it didn't surprise God. And his response was, of course, fear. You go out, and it's just you and the prophet, and you go out to get water, and you look out, and there's an army surrounding the city. And if that's your only perspective, it's very easy to get in fear. And this is what he did. He came back, and he told Elisha, he said, what are we going to do? His whole perspective was limited to only what he could see. And Elisha said, "Don't worry about it." He said, we're in good shape. He said, "In fact, there are more with us than there are with them." In other words, son, there's more than meets the eye here. You need to relax. Now, this servant's thinking to himself, "Well, I see them, I see us. The math isn't working here." And Elisha said something very interesting. He said, "Lord, open his eyes that he may see." Now, what he didn't say was, "Lord, send angels, send help." He said, "Lord, open his eyes that he may see what was already there." There were already angels there. Now, I don't know if Elisha had known ahead of time. The Lord said, "Don't worry about it." I don't know if Elisha was hanging on to that psalm that said, "The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them." But whatever the situation, Elisha's perspective was different than the servant's. But when the servant opened his eyes, he said, "The mountains were full of horses and chariots all around Elisha." What a good thing to know. Horses, I'll take horses and chariots of fire over natural horses and chariots anytime. And so he was talking about a perspective that was different than what they had. Now, you hear stories like that and you go, "That's great, that's wonderful. How does that pertain to me?" Well, that realm that exists out there that we can't see is still very much real. And there's more to you than meets the eye. You see, God has done some wonderful things for every one of us. And if you've accepted His Son Jesus as your Savior, it's opened up actually a whole nother world to us. When Paul the Apostle was standing before one of the kings, he stood before him and he was describing what God had called him to do. And he gave this verse in Acts. It's a wonderful verse. He said, the Lord said, "I'm sending you to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified or set apart by faith in me." Jesus said a whole lot in that phrase. He said, "I've sent them to open their eyes." In other words, when the gospel is preached, when the gospel goes out, the entrance of God's word brings light and people are able to see. We often hear people say, "It's almost sort of like I saw it for the first time. My eyes were opened." And see, He turns us from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. Do you realize that you are not a child of darkness and darkness has no power in your life? See, we have to know that. And when we know that, we're able to take advantage of that. That's why we preach the gospel. That's why we send people out all over the world, that they can understand that they don't have to be under the dominion of Satan any longer, that God has set them free and they can come into the kingdom of God. Now you say, "Well, under the power of Satan," you say, "Yeah, the Bible says the whole world lies under Satan's authority." But if you've been born again, if you've asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior, you've come out from under that authority. You're no longer there. I've used this analogy for years. It's always made sense to me. The Bible said that we have been transferred into the, delivered from the power of darkness or authority of darkness. We've been transferred into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Anybody ever had a job that was just a horrible job with a horrible boss and you couldn't wait to leave it? Don't raise your hand. Your boss may be here. Just look straight ahead. You know, that if you've ever had a bad job with a bad boss and you get another job, it's just like a relief on your life. "This is great. But let's just say, for example, that you had a bad job and a bad boss, and God opened up a door and you got a great new job, and you quit that company and you walked out and said, I'm leaving, and I'm not ever coming back, and like, praise God, I've got a new job. And 2 weeks after you're gone, it's Saturday morning, you're getting ready to do some things with your family, and your phone goes off and you see it's your boss's number, your old boss's number. You're like, why is he calling me? But you don't get it. You let it go to voicemail. But then the voicemail, you listen to the voicemail, and it sends shivers down your spine when the voicemail says, I don't know what you think you're doing, but you better get in the office because we got a project and it's got to be out today. I'm expecting you within the hour. Do you go, oh, I got to be there. And then you go, whoa, wait a minute. I don't work for him anymore. He's not my boss. You're not the boss of me. So you don't even call him back. You just text him back and go, I don't work for you. You're not the boss of me. I'm not coming. And by the way, your number's blocked. I'm not even going to talk to you anymore. Why? Because you're not under his authority anymore. He can't tell you what to do anymore. This is what's happened to us in Christ. No longer can Satan tell you what he's going to do in your life. You're just writing back, I'm blocking your number. No, it's not going to work. But God has just done so many wonderful things for us. And the promises that he's given us in Christ, we had to find out what those are. It's salvation, it's deliverance, it's healing, it's strength, it's provision, so many wonderful things. And the more we find out about it, the more we're able to take advantage. They're out there and they're in a realm we haven't seen or feel or touch yet, but they're a reality. Back in the 20s after World War I, most of the world still traveled by boat when they had to go long distance. A man from a ravaged part of Europe had lost all his business and really lost most of his way to earn income. His country was decimated. And so he saved his money and he bought a ticket on a ship that was going to America. It was an American ship. It was going to America. Then he would send for his family once he got a job and got established. He didn't speak English well, but he saved up just enough to buy a ticket. But he realized he had just enough and he got one of those berths on the bottom of the boat. It wasn't pretty, but it was clean. And it was a trip to America. He was excited. But he realized he didn't have the money for food. And so his wife gave him some tins of dried fish and some crackers that wouldn't go stale during the trip. So he would be on the boat, and he was just so excited to be going to America, and they would have dinner time and lunch time, and he would see the people filing into the dining rooms. He could hear the clink of silverware. He saw the nice tables. Everything was beautiful. And he really wished he could go there, but he consoled himself by the fact that he was going to America. And so he would go down in his booth and he would open up his dried fish and he'd get some water and he'd drink his dried fish and his crackers, and it wasn't good, but he was going to America and he was going to be free. And that kept him consoled, even though he would have loved to have been in the dining room. Well, the boat was getting ready to come into the New York Harbor. And you could see the skyline of New York in the distance. And this man was standing there on the edge just kind of the boat, watching the New York. And a captain came up to him. And captain shook his hand. He said, sir, he said, I pride myself on my ship of meeting everyone and at least having dinner with everyone that is a passenger. He said, I don't think I've ever seen you. Have I ever seen you in the dining room? And the man kind of hung his head. He said, no, captain. He said, when I bought my ticket, in his broken English, he said, when I bought my ticket, he said, I did not have enough to eat in the dining room. He said, so I just had my fish and my crackers in my room. And the look on the captain's face was just one of dismay. He said, oh. He said, oh, he said, your lack of English has hurt you so much. He said, I wish they had explained to you that when you bought your ticket, you bought entrance into the dining room. You could have come into the dining room every day. You could have had lunch and breakfast and dinner in the dining room, but you didn't know that it was available. Because you didn't know it was available, you didn't get to take advantage of it. And this is where so many Christians are. They are so happy that they're going to heaven and they're eating their fish and crackers, barely making it, but they're going to make it in. But I'm going to tell you something. God's done a lot better things for you. And he has healed you. He has set you free. He's delivered you. He's done wonderful things. And when you find out about it, you need to cash your ticket in. You need to show up at the dining room and go, hey, I'm eating. Hey, he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and there's some good things on the table. You see, there's more to you than meets the eye. God's done wonderful things for you. God's given you some wonderful help. You have help. You are not slugging it out down here alone. Jesus said this to his disciples, probably caught them completely by surprise when he said this in John. He said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away. For if I don't go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." The helper he was talking about was the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's role in our life is to help us. He is to guide us into all truth. He can show us things to come. There are so many avenues, so many ways that he can help us. I've asked for his help. I realize how desperately I need his help. Pastoring this church, how desperately I need his help. Just being a good husband, being a good father. But he has such great resources to help us, and we are not down here alone. Jesus, I did not leave you comfortless. I gave you a helper who will be with you forever, and he's not in us just to hitchhike through life. He's in us to help. There's more to you than meets the eye. And you say, you know, there's one more thing, and I'm just go ahead and talk about this right now. We have angelic help. So, Alan, you look like an educated man. Actually, I am. Look like you went to college. I did. Passed, graduated. See, you believe in angels? Yes. I definitely believe in angels. I believe there's a realm we can't see, and I believe angels are a part of that. I believe just because we got educated, God did not stop the need for angels. Just because we got educated, God didn't go, "Well, you know, you don't need angels." In fact, the Bible said, be careful to entertain strangers, to be good to strangers, because you might be entertaining angels unaware. Some of them may be walking among us. They might be working in the parking lot. Just saying. Joy, the other day, was laughing at me. We were having dinner at a place, and this guy came up and started talking, and the meal was bad. And this guy, he just kept talking and just kept talking. He just kept talking. And if I'd asked him to sit down, he would have. He just kept talking and kept talking. And I kept being nice. I kept trying to end the conversation. I kept giving him ways out. And man, he left. He came back and talked to me again. So I mentioned I'm a pastor. That's usually good to get rid of people. Oh, that didn't get rid of him. He just stayed. After we left, Joy said, she's laughing. She said, "Probably an angel." And I said, "Yeah. Thank you, Joy. We'll get that sorted out in heaven." I think when we do get to heaven, we're going to get introduced to our angel. Remember the Bible said that the little ones have an angel that's always before the face of the Father? I bet we're going to meet our angels. And he's going to look at you and go, "Boy, did I keep your hide out of some stuff." Thank you. I believe we have help. Even though we can't see or feel it, I believe it's there. So listen, what is one of the best ways we can respond to God's help? We're responding to something we haven't seen. See, there's more to us than meets the eye. There's promises we have. There's help that we have. How do we respond to that? One of the greatest ways we can do it is with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, just saying, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you." That's why the Bible, the theme throughout the Bible, you see it in the Psalms. You see it, rejoice. You see it in Philippians, rejoice. Why are we rejoicing? We're rejoicing because there are things going on we can't see. There are prayers. I know some of you praying for loved ones, and you're thinking, "Oh, they're so far away from God." You don't know what God's doing in the background to maneuver people around to get to your loved ones. You just keep praying and thanking God that good things are coming across their path, that good things are happening in their life. There are things that are happening in the job realm that you haven't seen yet. Just keep thanking God. One of the best ways that we connect with what is unseen is by thanking God for things we cannot see yet. Lord, thank you for your goodness. And the Psalms talk about that in this one. It says this, "Let all those rejoice who put their trust in you. Let them ever shout for joy because you defend them." That word actually means cover them. "Let those also who love your name be joyful in you. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous, will favor you, surround him as with a shield." I can't see any of that, but I am grateful for it. And so the best thing I can do is say, "Lord, I thank you. I rejoice in you for what you've done." A number of years ago, I went to a pastor's conference in Colorado Springs. First time I'd ever been in Colorado. Don't know too much about Colorado. I know they have mountains and parts of the. And when I landed in Colorado Springs, it was in the evening. It was cloudy. And the next day I got up, it was cloudy. And I remember thinking to myself, "This is not that pretty. You know, glad I'm here. Really not that pretty." And about the second day, the clouds broke, and it turned out to be a gorgeous thing. And I walked out, and there's Pike's Peak. Now, I don't know geography, obviously, that well. I didn't realize Pike's Peak was right there. And it's gorgeous. Carrie, you got that picture of Pike's Peak? That's what it looks like. So when I came in, it was cloudy, and I couldn't see it. And when the sun broke through, that's what I saw. And I'm just kind of like a tourist, like, oh, whoa, that is so awesome. In fact, I skipped some of the afternoon sessions and went up and drove and sat at a Starbucks and just looked at Pikes Peak. We don't have a lot of mountains around here, so I enjoy them. And I'm looking at Pikes Peak. I'm enjoying Pikes Peak. Do you realize that Pikes Peak was there the whole time I was there? I just couldn't see it because the clouds had fogged it in. You couldn't see Pikes Peak, but it was still there. Guys, do you realize that God is bigger than Pikes Peak and He's still there? And sometimes there are clouds of doubt and discouragement and fear, and they block the view of God and all He's done. But if you begin to lift your arms and praise Him and say, God, I thank You. You are real. You're bigger than any mountain. You are real in my life. That causes the clouds to part and you can see what's unseen. There is more to you than meets the eye. Would you bow your heads with me just for a moment? If you came this morning and said, ah, it's a rainy morning, Alan, but I came to church anyway, and I so need to connect with God. Or maybe you're here and you say, Alan, I used to be connected to God. Now I've gotten so far away, and I want to come back. We're going to pray. Simple prayer, but it's right here for you. It's right tangible for you right now. It's a prayer of faith. I'm going to lead you in it. But if you're realizing I'm one that needs to come back to God, or I'm one that needs Him for the very first time, Alan, I want in on this prayer. Would you real quickly now put your hands up and say, Alan, that's me that you're praying for. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Great. You can put your hands down. We're going to pray. Maybe you did not lift your hand but wanted to. Hey, listen, you can pray this prayer with us. We're going to all pray it with you together. It's a powerful prayer. It's short, but it's powerful. Say, dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe You're the Son of God. I believe You died on the cross for my sins. And God raised You from the dead. Right now, I confess You as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank You, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with You. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to You. Father, thank You for those that prayed that prayer today. Father, regardless of what they feel, the reality is that change has taken place. And they've stepped out of darkness into Your marvelous light. What a wonderful privilege that is. Father, thank You that You continue to open our eyes that we might see wondrous things that You've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more about the Ark, visit thearkchurch.com.